So what would a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed be without an opportunity to recite the Apostles' Creed together? Amen?
Amen.
So let us do that now. I don't know if we put it on the screen, but if you didn't get a card this morning, we do have cards that have those on them, and I would like to encourage you to get one after worship today and bring it with you each week throughout Lent. So let us recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray together. Awesome and loving God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for being with us, even through the sad moments and through the prayers that we've prayed. God, we thank you for wrapping your arms around us and being with us, for loving us, for caring for us. And God, I ask now that you would bless these words that you have given to me to share. And as I share them, God, I pray that there would be more of you in them and less of me. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know already, this is the first Sunday of Lent, of a season set aside by the church to reflect on our need for a Savior leading up to Easter Sunday, when we can celebrate the fact that we have one. Amen. The season of Lent is a time for us to be intentional about drawing closer to God and doing all the things that we need to do to make that happen. I hope that you'll commit to and stick with something that will help you do that this year, whether it be some kind of fast, probably something more important than saltine crackers, but some kind of fast or additional time spent with God in prayer, or more time spent with God in Scripture, or more time and more ways to be with him through service to others, or some other way that you have chosen to commit to him for these 40 days. I think it's important for us to make sacrifices throughout the Lenten season in remembrance of Jesus' 40-day fast in the wilderness and the ultimate sacrifice that he made for us on the cross, and also as a way to be more focused on our growing relationship with God. So I think it's important for us to subtract those things that maybe keep us from seeing God and drawing closer to God sometimes. But I also believe it's important for us to make Lenten additions that can help us grow in our faith, that can help us know God better and grow closer to him during this season. Amen?
Amen.
So this year, one of the additions for us as a church family will be an exploration of the Apostles' Creed. We'll spend our Sundays during Lent remembering the foundations of our faith by hopefully memorizing, reciting, and exploring the Apostles' Creed. I want to make sure we go into this exploration grounded, though. Exploring the Apostles' Creed through Sunday sermons is different than completely analyzing and dissecting and walking away from everything, walking away knowing everything there is to know about God and faith and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and what we claim through the recital of the Apostles' Creed. As much as I would like to, I cannot explain to you all of the mysteries of God in a sermon. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Yes, me too. There's two reasons for that, really. First, I don't know them. I don't know all the mysteries of God, and second, if I did, it would take a lot longer than we have for me to share them with you. So I have not set out to do that throughout this series. What I have set out to do, though, is help you begin or continue to understand the foundations of your faith through this creed. That will include mystery, though, won't it? There will be mystery left. We say the creed, we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But in saying just that one first line, we are reciting many mysteries that wait there to be understood, aren't we? Just that one line includes all kinds of mystery. I hope to help with that today and in the weeks to come, but to solve them, I cannot. We'll spend these weeks exploring the creed. And most of the time, in my experience, exploration leaves some things unexplored. Yes? Exploration leaves some things unexplored. Those are the things that I hope that you will find ways to explore on your own throughout this Lenten season, whatever that may be for you. I already made mention of this, but one of the ways I'd like to help you to do that exploration is I'd like to invite you to join me in the parlor on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. And like I said, I lead a youth Bible study, and we gather together, and we laugh together, and we pray together, and we study Scripture together, and we build community together. And I'd like to invite you to come and be a part of all of those things throughout the Lenten season. How powerful can it be when all of the generations come together and learn to know more about God together? Amen? I hope you'll come. I'll make coffee. And maybe I'll make some weak coffee. I don't know. It depends on who comes. And you can bring a snack if you'd like, or if you don't want to, don't. So we'll just be sitting together. It won't be a big fancy thing. It'll be a laid back evening with the church gathering together and learning to understand our faith a little better. So I hope that you'll come. Now this week, our exploration will be on the first line of the creed, I believe in God. I believe in God. And one thing I want to point out this first week is the structure of the Apostles' Creed. If you look on your card, if you got one, you'll see that the Apostles' Creed is structured around the Holy Trinity, isn't it? It's structured around the Holy Trinity. I believe in God is the first line, and then we go into the three characteristics of God, the Holy Trinity, Father, who created us, Son, who redeems us, and Holy Spirit, who sustains us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the first part of the Trinity, of the first characteristic of God that we'll focus on in our exploration of the Apostles' Creed is Father. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. When we say this in our creed, I believe we're saying two things. First, we believe God is the heavenly Father of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who referred to him that way often. And second, when we say, I believe in God the Father, we're saying we believe the characteristics of God include intimacy with us. Amen? Include intimacy with us. We're saying we believe our God is a loving, personal, intimate God who wants to be in a real relationship with us, his beloved children. In his book titled This We Believe, Timothy Tennant, the president of the Asbury Theological Seminary, writes this: how fitting that when we, as the children of God, are first learning to speak as Christians, we begin with our first Christian words, affirming God as Father. Affirming God as Father is the beginning alphabet of Christian faith. We already know this with this one word, that God is a person. God is not some mercurial force at the other end of the galaxy. He is not Aristotle's unmoved mover or the vague, generic God of the philosophers. He is a personal God. He is the embodiment of holiness, love, and justice. I love that, don't you? I love that. So when we confirm through the Apostles' Creed that we believe in God the Father, we are saying we believe God, the powerful, almighty God, knows us, loves us, cares for us like a perfect, loving parent. Amen? like a perfect loving parent. I believe in God the Father who knows me and loves me and wants to be in relationship with me, even me. Even me. That's what we say. I believe in God the Father. He loves even me. But the first line of the creed, it doesn't stop there, does it? It doesn't stop there. No, we go much further in our confirmation of who we believe God the Father is by stating what we believe he did. We say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator or maker of heaven and earth. Father is who we believe God is. Creator is what we believe he did in the beginning. Scripture says, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. The beginning of creation. And then continuing to read the creation story in Genesis 1, we learn that God created all things, don't we? God created all things, day and night, the water and the land, the plants and the animals. And then after he had created everything that we would need to live, God created his most prized possession. He created you. He created you. He created us. Scripture tells us these simple truths, doesn't it? Scripture tells us these simple truths. God created. It's the first thing that we read when we open our Bible, right? If you're going to start the Bible, people come up to me and say, I'm going to start reading the Bible in Genesis, right? Every time we start reading the Bible, we start in Genesis. What do we find out about God immediately? God created. So the first line that we read in the Bible, God created. And so the first line of the creed through which we proclaim faith in him includes our confirmation that God is a creator. He is a creator of heaven and earth and everything in it. This we believe. Amen? The first line of the Apostles' Creed packs a powerful punch, doesn't it? It's short but powerful. I preached a series about the Lord's Prayer last year. I hope that at least two or three of you remember that. Do you? Two, one? I'm just kidding. So I hope you remember that. But my hope for that series was that we would stop saying the words habitually, right? That we would stop praying the Lord's Prayer habitually without allowing them to be as powerful as God intended them to be for us. I hope that the same thing is true for what we're doing with the Apostles' Creed. I hope when we come to the end of this series, you will find power in its words and not only a new habit. So we will likely close with our service with a song called Indescribable. That the jury's still out on that. I love the Apostles' Creed and what it's intended for. I love that we get in the church, we get to confirm through it what we believe about God. I love the Apostles' Creed, but in the end, I believe he is indescribable. He is indescribable. He is too good, too big, too awesome, too everything for us to fully understand and describe, though we try. Don't we, church? Though we try. And that, for me, is why I continue to be in awe of him. Because he is indescribable. Amen? I hope that you are in awe of him, too. So there's more to the Christian faith than belief, though, isn't there? I hope you believe that, church. There's more to the Christian faith than belief. It wouldn't be all that powerful for us to simply proclaim that we believe if there was no evidence of that belief in the way we live our life, would there? We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and we, the church, are called to live our lives loving and serving him in the world by loving and serving his children in the world. Can we agree on that? Let us not get stuck in the belief at the expense of the response. Let us not get stuck in our belief at the expense of our response to that belief. Let us not allow people to be in danger and misery out there while we sit in here confessing our beliefs and our doctrines to each other. What good is that to the families of the 17 people who died last week? Or to the families of the next victims of a school shooting? What we say we believe is only important and powerful if it leads us into the world. Only if it leads us into the world. We can't bring needed change that might help prevent or reduce the casualties of the next school shooting by reciting the Apostles' Creed a billion times. We can't bring the change that's needed to prevent or reduce the next school shooting by reciting John 3:16 a billion times, or the Lord's Prayer a billion times, or sitting in worship a billion times. Needed change and healing comes when the church puts feet on the faith we claim to have. It doesn't come from simply claiming that we have it. So remember the foundations of your faith. Yes, remember the foundations of your faith. It's so important for us to do that. But don't, church, don't let Satan convince you that that is enough. Don't let Satan convince you that that is enough, because while the church proclaims our faith but fails to respond to it, kids keep getting shot in schools. Something needs to change, doesn't it? Don't we know that? Something needs to change, and the church is quietly proclaiming faith. Something needs to change, and the church is quietly saying John 3:16. Something needs to change, and the church is silent instead of marching around Jericho making as much noise as they can. Something needs to change, and the church should be marching around Washington and Indianapolis and Lake County and Dyer and the school corporation office, boldly demanding the change that we know is needed. I love the Apostles' Creed. I love the Apostles' Creed. It helps me stay grounded in my faith, but it can't stop the next school shooting by itself. Only change can do that. And the church has a responsibility to be a part of that change. When kids and teachers are dying all around us in acts of gun violence, it's time for the church to stand up, isn't it? It's time for the church to stand up. After we proclaim our faith, like we did here this morning, the church should march. After we proclaim our faith, the church should stand up and march. The church should not respond out of the faith we claim and not, or the church should respond out of the faith we claim and not just on Facebook. Not just on Facebook, but at the next school board meeting, at the state capitol, in our senators and state representatives' offices and inboxes and voicemails. I asked Jamie to put some slides on the board for you to take pictures of. Do we have them? I think they're coming. There we go. Would you take a moment and take a picture of that slide? If you don't have your camera ready, maybe you could go see somebody that you see does have their camera ready, and you can get this information. So raise your hand when you've taken the picture. All right, now go to the next one. These are the federal representatives. I know you all like to be on the phone. All right, and one more. I think. No? Just two. Okay. Call them. You pay them. You pay them, church. They work for you. If you see something that needs to change, do something about it, church. And if we don't see something that needs to change, there's something wrong with us, right? Right? So 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." He says, my people, church. My people, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's us. I already said it once today. Now I've said it twice. That's us. We love to say, well, if those people would just do that. No, if I would just do that. That's us today. That is our church. If we will humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, he will heal our land. We call him Father when we say the creed, don't we? We are his people. We are his people, and he calls us to pray and humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our evil ways. And you say, what evil? Silence. Let's let that be the evil that we turn from today. Silence in the wake of tragedy and violence and oppression is evil. Is evil. The silence of the church, the silence of a people who proudly proclaim faith in the God who said, love kindness, seek justice, and walk humbly with God. Silence in the wake of a Parkland, Florida shooting, or a Benton, Kentucky shooting, or any other massacre of innocent lives is in itself evil. Church, it's evil, and we are called by God to turn away from it. Speak up, church. Look how many people are sitting here. I know there could be more, but just look how many people are sitting here now. If you know change is needed, make a phone call. Make a phone call. Speak up. Pray and listen to what God is telling you needs to change. And then go, speak, march, call, email, and respond to the faith you claim to have. Some say we have a gun control problem that killed 17 people last week. And so many more in other school shootings already this year. Others say the problem is mental illness and our inadequacies and failures as a society to respond appropriately to it. I say it's both. And you have your opinions too, but they're not affecting change on your Facebook page or sitting quietly in your head. So do something, church. Do something. Martin Luther King Jr. said the ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people. We're people of faith. We are followers of Jesus. We are the church. But it is time for us to stop being silent and start making some noise. It's time for us to come together and do something in our sadness. Aren't you sad about what happened? When Jesus saw injustice and oppression, he acted, didn't he? He acted. He turned over the tables and became part of the solution. What are you going to do, church? Jesus turned over tables. What are you going to do? I hope it's something, because we have a problem in this country. Innocent people keep getting killed. And if the church won't stand up and speak up and do something, who in the world do we think will? If the church won't do something, who do we think will? Let's pray together. God, we love you. And God, we love it that you are here with us. God, we have broken hearts this morning. And God, some of us don't know what to do. And I pray, God, that you would make it clear to us what we should do. God, help us to seek you. To seek your face, to faith, face, to pray to you, and to listen, and then to respond. God, we believe you are Father, Creator. We believe that you love us. We believe that you want to be in an intimate relationship with us. And now, God, in the wake of this tragedy, I pray that you would speak to us, and that we would listen, and that we would respond. We pray all this in the precious name of Christ. Amen.